Thank you, Matt. Anybody know where Ryan is? I gave him permission to go to church with his girlfriend today in Stephenville, so he's off today. Romans chapter 14, turn there in your Bible to Romans chapter 14. And listen, I want to explain something to you real quick. I know that my preaching is slow for some of you. And you're like, dude, you only covered two verses that day. Let me assure you that I go to the Lord every Monday and say, Lord, show me what to preach. And when you preach verse by verse through the Bible tells you what to preach instead of you deciding what you think you ought to preach on. But it's interesting to me that as we've been going verse by verse through the book of Romans, we landed on how we should show respect and submit to our governing authorities at a perfect time. And now, at a perfect time, we're talking about the unity of the church and its witness to the rest of the world in a world that no longer knows how to exist in unity. I have been to Haiti, I've been to Mexico, I've been to Belize, I've been to many different places on mission trips, and probably the biggest need I've seen is in Alaska. And I decided to go sightseeing. These guys were taking us out and they were going to show us moose and eagles and stuff, and we weren't seeing them, so I was like, man, I think I know where they're hanging out, so I got the camp director's okay to take a vehicle, and I went out and saw moose and saw bald eagles and got the vehicle stuck. So I saw this dude from way far off in a four-wheel drive pickup, and I waved him down, and he said, well, I can't drive where you're at because I'll get stuck. So we spent I don't know how much time putting together ropes, chains, all this kind of stuff, rigged. We were having a blast together, honestly. We were having a lot of fun together, rigging all this stuff up, working together on all these things to get these two automobiles hooked up so he could pull me out. And then he asked me about politics. And the minute we went to politics, he started cussing and saying all this stuff. And I just was going, okay. And he probably carried on for 5 or 10 minutes, using all kinds of vulgarity and saying all this stuff. And luckily, he still pulled me out. But after he pulled me out and we got everything unhooked, I went over to him and I stuck my hand out and we shook hands and I said, no, actually, I didn't do that first. I went over to him, I said, isn't it amazing how much fun we had together? Isn't it amazing what we accomplished before you asked me about politics? And the minute politics was brought up, it shut everything down. We were no longer friends. I mean, I had a new friend in Alaska for a few minutes. We were no longer friends. We couldn't get anything done. And he just stuck out his hand. He said, I'm sorry. And I said, we're good. Forgiven, let's be friends. And he said, let's be friends. But that's the world we live in now. And it's a crying shame. And God has called us as believers to be a witness for the rest of the world of what unity and harmony should look like and how to get there. And I believe he's calling GBF specifically to do this. We live in a world that desperately, desperately needs this. And I believe that he is calling you and I, Grace Bible Fellowship, to witness this, to get back on track with him and be a witness for him. And so we've talking about in this little mini-series on unity, we're talking about the unity and the harmony of God's church in Romans 14 and 15, and that's where we pick up in verse 10. Paul says, but you, circle those two words, because what we like to do is we like to listen to a sermon and think about somebody else that needs to be doing this. So circle the two words, but you. So from the very get-go, we're going to think about how God needs to change me, okay? If you're thinking about somebody else, you're on the wrong track. I'm gonna see how God needs to change me today, okay? But you, why do you judge your brother? You again, circle those two words. I'm talking to you again. Why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. You may not be doing it today, but you will do it one day. One way or another, you will bow and you will praise God. So then, Paul says, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. In verse 16, Paul asks two questions back to back that are absolutely critical to understand in this context. In this context of judging one another. In this context of accountability within the body of Christ. And these two questions help us to understand what he is referring to when he talks about judging one another. And this is important because the verb to judge in Scripture, whenever you see the verb to judge anywhere in Scripture, whether it's in 1 Corinthians 5 or here in Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8, Romans 15, wherever, the context is absolutely crucial for the correct meaning of how the word is being used. And in that second sentence, the word that's translated contempt in Paul's second question is a word that means to despise someone. I believe I put this in your notes. Because you think they are worthless or of no value. Now, you may remember from last week that the Bible gives us specific commands that we are to obey, right? The Bible gives us specific commands, commands that we are responsible even to hold one another accountable to those standards. However, these must be done, and you might want to write this in your notes, they must be done biblically, Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Accountability must be done biblically, Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. It must be done with humility, 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 2. And it must be done with love, 1 Corinthians 15. Whenever you're holding a brother or a sister accountable for something, a clear command in the Word of God, it must be done with, it must be done biblically, Matthew 18, 15 through 17. It must be done with humility, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 2. And it must be done in love, 1 Corinthians 13. And so the Bible says that we are responsible to each other for the clear teachings in Scripture. In fact, Paul, if you remember from last week, even encouraged this church in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, to put a man out of their fellowship until he repented of his adulterous relationship with his father's wife. But this is critical to understand in that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Do not miss this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it is God's intention to protect the unity and the witness of his church while encouraging repentance on the man's part, in which time he would be brought back into the fellowship of the church. So there's a good outcome from that judgment. It's God's intention to protect the unity and witness of his church, and at the same time encourage repentance on the man's part. And when he repents, he is restored. He's brought back into the fellowship of the church. And so this was ultimately an act of tough love, hoping for a positive outcome on the man's behalf and for the protection of God's church. Here's what Paul was not encouraging the church to do. Paul was not encouraging the church to despise the man. In fact, just the opposite. Paul was encouraging the church, and our culture takes this and just flips it. Just flips it around. Paul was not encouraging them to despise the man. In fact, he was encouraging them to love him enough to exercise biblical discipline in hopes that it would lead to repentance and restoration to the church family. And in the same way, Paul was encouraging them, listen to this very, very closely. I run into people all the time that do not love God enough to do this. Paul was encouraging them to love God enough to protect his church and its witness from this gross evil that was taking place right there in the church. Everybody knew about it. Having said that, this is not the kind of judgment Paul's referring to where we're at in Romans 14. He's referring to something completely different, and it's very important that we understand what it is. Paul's referring to the judgment we use when we evaluate another person's actions in disputable matters. Not clear commands from Scripture, but in disputable matters. Disputable matters being those matters which are not clearly laid out in Scripture. For instance, I spoke of this last week, the issue of drinking or not drinking. Andrea and I have chosen not to drink for many reasons. However, biblically speaking, this is a matter of conscience because there's no clear command in Scripture telling us not to drink. And though we choose not to drink, listen to this, though we choose as a matter of conscience not to drink, we are clearly commanded in Scripture to not look with contempt on those who do drink. You understand what I'm saying? And I can assure you that Andrea and I, although not perfect in this because we're human beings and I fall every day, Andrea and I try to be very careful when it comes to following this command because as a pastor and a pastor's wife, we live under continued scrutiny. Daily, weekly. Weekly at least. We live under continued scrutiny regarding what we drive, where we live, where we go, what we wear, what we do, what we don't do, what we say, what we don't say. Weekly, I hear something from someone in regards to that. And so be assured that we want you to live in freedom. Is that cool? Andrea and I want you to live in freedom. In fact, some of the people we enjoy the most choose differently than we do. But Paul reminds us in Romans 14:5, it's a matter of conscience. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. And then Paul questions us in verse 10. Look back at verse 10 in your Bible. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So here again, we see a clear command to let God be the judge in these disputable matters. And it's important to note that the judging Paul is referring to here in Romans, listen to this, this is very important to understand. The judging compared to, or excuse me, in contrast with the judging in 1 Corinthians 5 that had a positive outcome, right? The judging that he's referring to in Romans 14 has no positive outcome. Which leads us to point number one in your notes. This kind of judgment only has a negative outcome for the individual and the church. Why? Because it is based on human reasoning, not clear commands in God's Word. This kind of judgment has only a negative outcome for the individual and the church because it's based on human reasoning. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, and in the end it leads to death, the Bible says in Proverbs 14, if I remember right. I don't remember the verse. Now let me illustrate why we must allow God to be the only judge in these matters of conscience, in these disputable matters. I'm giving you 4 points in your notes. Why we, you and I, must allow God to be the only judge in these matters of conscience. A, we don't know all the facts. Only God is omniscient. Write that in your notes. We don't know all the facts. Only God is all-knowing. Only God is omniscient. B, our judgment is always, at least in part, self-centered. Only God can be completely objective. Our judgment, at least in part, is always self-centered. And only God can be completely objective. C, our judgment is hypocritical because only God is perfect. Amen? Our judgment is hypocritical. Once we get out of the clear commands of teaching and we start judging people on some of these disputable matters, our judgment's hypocritical because in some way, some area, we do the same thing. We do the exact same thing. Only God is perfect. And D, our judgment has no biblical basis because it's not based on Scripture and because we are not God. Our judgment has no biblical basis because we are not God. And it's not based on the clear commands of Scripture. Only God has created us. Only God truly knows us, truly knows the heart of a man. Only God truly cares for us. Because God is love. Only God truly cares for us the way love should care. And only God has redeemed us. Therefore, God alone has the right to judge us in matters of conscience. And we judge our brothers and sisters in these matters, it only does harm. And so Paul asks us in verses 10 and 11, why do you judge your brother? You, again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. And so Paul says, despite our differences, listen, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God and bow before Him in humble submission. So in the meantime, allow your brother and sister to live in freedom. In the meantime, allow your brother and sister in Christ to live in freedom, which leads us to point number 2 in your notes. When it comes to disputable matters, maintain an attitude of grace by refusing to lecture others and becoming their self-appointed spiritual coach. Amen? Maintain an attitude of grace. Now, if you're feeling guilty right now, I'm preaching to Chris Irvin just as much as I'm preaching to anybody else. Nobody can preach more than a preacher, right? Okay? But you and I need to learn to maintain an attitude of grace by refusing to lecture others and becoming their self-appointed spiritual coach. Bottom line, most of us have enough on our plates already, right? Am I right? Most of us have enough on our plates already without some self-appointed junior Holy Spirit adding to it. Amen? And all we do by judging each other in these disputable matters is to add to the other person's load. Listen to this very closely. Do not miss this point. All we do by judging each other in these matters is to add to their load and take away from the unity of God's church and the unity of God's people. However, if we truly desire to help each other, listen to this, if we truly desire to help each other and contribute to the unity of God's church, then we must adopt this attitude of grace and allow each other to live in freedom. I think of it this way because I don't do it that much anymore now that Jake's moved out, but I used to watch NASCAR all the time because my son Jake absolutely loved NASCAR. Put another way, we need to back off and allow others to breathe the clean air of grace. Have you ever been to a NASCAR race? If you sit in the good seats under the awning, you'll turn green after about 10 minutes from breathing exhaust. Brett Holt did me a huge favor and got me and Jake NASCAR tickets because the dude loved NASCAR when he was little. And we went, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, I looked at Jake and he looked at me and we were both green. And we were like, dude, we got to get out here and breathe clean air, right? And so we need to back off and we need to allow others to breathe the clean air of grace. When it comes to our opinions, We need to mind our own business. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to give people the direction they need, because then and only then, listen to this, then and only then can they experience the genuine and lasting growth that only the Holy Spirit can bring about. Look at verse 12. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God, which leads to point number 3 in your notes. Each of us will stand before God and give an account of our behavior. And let me tell you this, when we stand before God and give an account of our behavior, please understand this, God will not ask me about the other person's behavior. I'm just going to give an account of my, regardless of who's done what, regardless of how mean I think they've treated me, God's not going to ask me about the other guy's behavior. He's going to ask me, did you obey me? No. We're not talking about Jeff. We're talking to you, Chris. Did you obey my word? We're not talking about that Democrat or that Republican. We're not talking about them. Did you submit to their authority and show respect for their authority like I tell you to in Romans 13? We're not worried about them anymore. Those days are gone. This is you and me. Did you do what I told you to do? Even if the other person has wronged you, you will be asked to give an account of your own behavior. And that's why it is absolutely critical as believers in Jesus Christ that we learn to release even those who have hurt us to the judgment of God, Romans 12, 17 through 21. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right, listen to this, respect what is right in the sight of all men. Circle those two words, all men, because you see, today we are witnessing what happens when we stray from God's word and every man does what is right in his own eyes. In our nation, we're seeing what happens when we stray from God's word. God says, respect what is right in the sight of all men. Never pay back evil for evil. So you and I are living in the world that says, you know what? We don't need God's word anymore. Every man just does what's right in his own eyes. And look where it's getting us. If possible, so far as it depends on you. I ain't talking about the other guy. I'm talking about you, God says. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now listen to this. I love this. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you fed your enemy? If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. In other words, don't be expecting the guy to thank you when you do it. And then 21 is a life verse for me. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's only one way to overcome evil. Amen. And it ain't with more evil. It's with good. So this attitude of grace that we've been called to includes leaving matters of assessment and leaving matters of justice in the hands of the Lord. We must refuse to become someone else's Holy Spirit. Listen, we can confront in love and truth, Matthew 18, but then we must turn that person over to the Lord for justice to take place. And only an attitude of grace will allow us to handle our relationships in this godly manner. And listen to this closely. This kind of conduct that I'm talking about, this attitude of grace, is no disputable matter. It's a clearly commanded verse in Scripture on how you and I, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, are to handle all relationships. This attitude of grace and backing off and letting others breathe clean air is no disputable matter. We are clearly commanded in Scripture. to handle all relationships in this way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word. And Lord, I just love your word. I love it every week when you show me what to preach on. I love it every morning when you straighten me out because I've been doing my own thing or going my own way. And I do that in one way or another every day. And so, Lord, I ask your forgiveness for that, and I praise you for the truth of your word. I praise you that we can still live in a country where your word can be preached. And, Lord, my prayer today is for all this election stuff, that you would put in office who you want to put in office, and you can use anybody. But in the meantime, my prayer is for GBF, that whoever is in office, that we can act like followers of Jesus Christ. That we can do what you clearly commanded us to do in Romans 13, 14, and 15. And act like people that trust you. Act like people who know that you are the sovereign God of the universe. And do exactly what you've commanded us to do. And share an attitude of grace where all the stuff that's not clearly commanded in Scripture, that may be things that we don't agree on. And so, Father, again, we just praise you and we thank you for your truth. And you are calling us to this. I mean, I started Romans a year ago. And we're right here, right now, right in the middle of this, all this stuff that's going on. Talking about government, unity, and harmony. And you knew each one of us would be here today to hear your word today. So, Lord, help us to be committed to living for you and not living for ourselves and our own ways and our own feelings. And we pray all these things in the person of Jesus Christ, who showed us this amazing attitude of grace by giving up all of his rights so that we could have eternal life. And we thank you and we praise you for his holy name today. In Christ's name, amen.